How are we all today? Wasn't that cool seeing all the stuff that people are doing? And thank you, Stephen and Bev, for just what you're doing there with the folk in Zim, and also for Yvonne. And I just love it, seeing everyone stepping up and doing things. And I love this passage. It's been a bit of a central motif for me as I've reflected on ministry over years and as I thought about it. The central theme, though, that I want to pick up on this morning is this whole idea of equipping. And remember, we've been on this journey and we've been talking about being a church that looks up to look out. And so we talked about what it means and how we do that and what drives the rationale, the system or the process, why we do what we do. And it's not because we want people to be busy and we want to be a, you know, institutional church that just runs programs, but we actually want to touch this area, the Eastern Hills district of Perth, with God's kingdom message, the good news. I'm totally committed to the gospel message of the good news. It is the one transforming message that our world needs to hear more than anything else. And you know what? This year I celebrate 30 years of ministry. How cool is that? And you know, over those 30 years of ministry, it has been this one thing of seeing people's lives turned around and changed and transformed. It's not a job, it's not a vocation, it's a calling. And that's what drives me on, that's what fuels my heart, to see people fall in love with Jesus and get their stuff dealt with. Just the same as me when I was a 10-year-old boy in Geraldton at a CSSM beach mission. Who remembers them? CSSM? Don't even know what it means. Come single, soon married. Yeah. But, you know, Jesus has been at work in my heart doing that work of transformation ever since then, and he wants to continue to do it. He wants to bring transformation. And I love this. You know, Ephesians 1, 4, verse 1 to 16 talks about this whole thing of the body and equipping people for service and ministry. But you know what the most significant thing to me is? It starts with a warning and an encouragement. Verse 1, as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you, it's not I would like you to, it's an imperative command, to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. So this morning we're going to talk about gifting and we're going to talk about how God wants to use us, but more than what we do is what we are in Christ. Do you get that? Because we can have all the gifts that we want and be a really clever person, but if our heart isn't right and we're not living a life that is worthy of what Jesus has done for us, then it's all in vain. So I want to run through six little things here in this passage that Paul talks about when he talks about becoming a person who is equipped. Did you pick up that word? Equipped for service in verse 11 of Ephesians 4. Equipped for service, for the work of service. He gave gifts, pastors, teachers, prophets to the church for the gift of service. In other words, to prepare people for the work of ministry. So he says the first thing that he says is talks about is our character in that. Look at verse 2. So it's about a living worthy is about, it's about our behavior. And behavior is a bit of a funny word because it means, you know, when we're kids, behave yourself, behind the ear, something that we do. But this is talking about character that comes from within. And it lists a few characteristics. Be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing one another in love. And I actually think they're pretty scarce commodities, some of those characteristics. Humility, gentleness, patience, persevering with one another. Because what he's talking about here is the work of God. The premise for that is not what we do, but who we are. And he's saying those things need to be truly evident in our lives if we want to be people that will become people that can affect the kingdom of God. Webster's Dictionary talks about this whole idea of character. It's a simple term that we throw around a lot, but the Webster's Dictionary says that it's a group of qualities that make or define a person, a group or thing that is different from others, a distinguishing feature. And isn't that what Jesus said in John 13, 34? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. By our character, by our heart, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. In fact, he doesn't just say to do those things, but he actually underscores it in verse 2 and says, be completely humble, be gentle. And I just look at the world in which we live in, and it's sort of the antithesis to what we see, isn't it? Affirming our rights, saying what we want to say, living for ourselves, taking what we can get. Jesus says, no, we don't march to that drum. We march to the drum of kindness and humility and graciousness and gentleness and patience and loving one another, because these are the things that matter. And if you want to later have a look at 1 Corinthians 13 verses 1 to 3, he says there that if you have all the gifts, you know, you're a clever person with all the special stuff, but you don't have love, you don't have gentleness, he doesn't run out the rest of them like in Ephesians, but he said a clanging gong. That was a twister, wasn't it? In other words, you're just a noisy person that's shooting, running off at the mouth. You know, you're not walking the walk. So these are the things that Jesus really talks about, and you know, he's still working on me in those areas: humility and grace, gentleness. On Friday, I went for, many of you know, I got a motorbike, I went for a ride out to Avon Valley National Park. Good place to do sermon prep, Phil. So I'm sitting there under this white gum doing sermon prep, and a good friend, a close friend, sent me a passage this week in Ephesians 4 about the full armour of God. And I was just reflecting on that, and it said in that passage that it says, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. God calls us to be people that have a heart that is changed before we can be a people that get involved for him. So it's about our behaviour, but it's also about a body of believers living worthy. So living worthy is this encapsulating form, and he runs through all these different elements of it, but it's about living in a body of believers. Look at verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And if you went over, Galatians, I think it is, Galatians 5, talks about this, the fruit of the Spirit, keeping the unity. Why is he focusing on so much about character? Because we don't get called to an individualistic faith. You know, it's not just Jesus and me and everything's okay. It's actually Jesus and me and a community that he calls me into, a community of faith called the body of believers. So if we want to be someone who lives a life that is worthy of his calling, it starts with inner change with our character and our heart. It goes to living amongst a community and being with people that also love Jesus. Look at verse 4. There is one body, there is one Spirit, and we are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God and Father over all of us. The body of Christ. The church, his idea, not ours. He calls it the bride of Christ. And he calls us to live and grow and move in this space of the body of Christ for a place of growth and maturity. So it's about believing. It's about behaving. It's about a body of Christ. But verse 7 also says that it's about using what's been given to us, what's been bestowed. That's what living worthy is. Verse 7, but to each one of you, us, grace has been given. The word grace, charis, you know, it just means a gift, basically. Something, and you know what, we don't earn gifts. We've talked about this lots. A gift is something that you receive it. You don't deserve it. It's not something that you earn. It's a gift. He says as much, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace or a gift has been given. And you know who gives out the gifts? Jesus. He gives out a gift to you for service in his kingdom. A gift to service. Now, earlier on, a little bit further on in verse 11, he talks about how he talks about the fivefold ministry of prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. What were the other ones? There's five there. I've missed one. Apostle. Yeah. And he talks about them as gifts to the church, to facilitate the ministry and training up of others. But that's a gift to the church, but this is a gift to you, a personal gift. I love what 1 Corinthians 7 verse 7 says, each man has his own gift from God and has this gift. And one has one gift and another has another gift. And I didn't bring them up. I've got something for you afterwards. I'll just get organized here. Some of you are going to say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. But, you know, when we come to faith, we actually all receive a special gift for service. So out on our information table out in the foyer there, there's going to be a number of bits of stuff. But we've made up a little flyer here, and there's a gifts test that you can take online. It's not brilliant, but it's a start. So you register in, and it'll give you a bit of an analysis of who you are. And then on the back, we've put a list of all the things that the Bible lists as possible gifts. And I don't believe that these lists are exhaustive. I think they're a starting point. And it was interesting, when I did it for me, it says that, what did it say? I'm a shepherd, I'm an administrator, and I'm an evangelist, which sort of fits, except for the administrator part. And I think Deanne and Chris would have a giggle about that. But what it didn't say was it talked about leadership, as in Romans chapter 8, which is probably what it's referring to. So, you know, you do have a gift. You have something that has been given to you at the point of salvation that's above and beyond your natural personality, that's above a talent, that it's a gift for service. It's an anointing that a Spirit given for you to serve. And let me read a few samples of what that might be. So there's a gift of prophecy, there's a gift of serving, a gift of leading, a gift of encouragement, a leadership, a gift of faith. Need my glasses. Has been 30 years, hasn't it? Gift of martyrdom. I don't want that one. Gift of tongues. Gift of evangelism. Oh, here's another. No, I won't say it. 50 plus person. And so they're just things that you can reflect on. But there's something else I wanted to share with you alongside of the gift, because the gift isn't the ultimate deciding things of how you serve. There's some other stuff that sits alongside of spiritual gifting that really helps us navigate it. And we refer to this as shape. And do we have that here? So shape. So if you're taking notes this morning, shape stands, the S stands for spiritual gifts. So that's the first one. And that's what we've just been talking about, what God gives you for service when you start this walk of faith. The next thing is your heart. So, and heart is about passion, how you're wired. Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Do you love people? Do you love serving behind? Are you a generous person? What's your natural, you know, desire as a person? And then there's our abilities, A, the things that we are naturally good at. So for some people, they just have a real mind for detail and figures. For others, they just love to do practical things. And your whole work and vocational experience comes into this space as well. And then there's P, stands for personality, which we sort of touched on a little bit, but that's, you know, how we're wired and the type of person that we are and live within the world. And then the last thing that influences this is experiences. And experience is good and bad, because we don't believe that God wastes any experiences. He uses that which is good and he uses that which is bad. And so he takes all of this along with our spiritual gifting, and that helps to define who we are and how we function in ministry, undergirded by our character and a Christian community that loves and serves us. So I'd encourage you, maybe grab one of these at the information desk. Maybe Yvonne, you can put your stuff out there. There'll be a group of people. There's stuff out there about the Passover as well, and there's also stuff out there about the Praxis workshop next weekend, which is going to be awesome. Okay, so that is spiritual gifting for the equipping of the service, work of service. And then there's the fourth thing about living worthy that Paul says is it's actually about building others up. It's not for ourselves. Look at verse 12. It's for building up the body. To equip God's people for works of service as the body of Christ may be built up. So what God has given you isn't for selfish grandizement or for selfish use, but it functions within the context of Jesus' church to build the church up. We've seen that already this morning. You know, some of you are really reflective and you're creative people, and you know, you're really going to resonate with this artwork. And I'd really encourage you to move into that space and to contemplate. It's just such a great way to reconsider Jesus' death. Others are doers and they love serving. And so, you know, this morning we've already heard about how Stephen and Bev, we stood alongside them in a ministry that's happening in Zimbabwe. And we joined in with that. And so we put our generosity alongside their heart and their gifting, and it builds up the body. What Yvonne is doing builds up the body. What Kelvin is going to be doing in a couple of weeks' time for the Passover is building up the body. It's preparing people for service. It's bringing a point of encouragement. And then verse 13, he says that the whole point of this is that all of this is for our maturity and spiritual growth. So remember when we started this little journey, we talked about engaging people with faith, for faith, seeing them make a commitment, establishing them in the faith. And now we're talking about equipping them for service. And this is like a cyclic triangle, if you like, the three points of a triangle that just keeps going. So it starts with people coming to faith, knowing who they are in Christ, growing up, and then being released for service to fulfill that full circle, that 360 degrees. Look at verse 14, because living worthy is about growing up in Christ until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that word, maturity there, is the word telos, and it means completion. Sometimes it's translated perfection, but the idea is not sinless perfection, but it's the idea of being mature, complete, not lacking anything. I remember many years ago, I went and preached at 2J, and by the way, Jason is there this morning teaching at 2J, preaching at 2J, and we've got Kelvin is going to be preaching at Chidlow next week. Most weeks we have people away preaching at other churches, which is really cool. But one of the guys at Chidlow Church told me, at 2J, told me when he was working in the Northwest, he was a boilermaker and he worked at a shipyard and he ran the workshops there and they did ship maintenance on all the bulk carriers. And he said one night they got a call from a Chinese bulk carrier that was 120 kilometres out to sea and it was taking water. And it was pretty urgent, and so he hopped on a helicopter and he went out there to check it out. And what had happened was this carrier was just about time expired, apparently. It was just about the end of its normal life. And the whole bottom of the boat, where the ribs were in the bulk containment, they'd managed to dig some of it out, the ribs had actually rusted off at the waterline where the ballast was. So all the ribbing was starting to go. It just wasn't there anymore inside this boat. And there were these hairline fractures that were just starting to appear. And one of these had come up, had opened up pretty well, and it was taking on a fair bit of water. So he said it was just such a small crack, but it impacted the whole ship. And he told me that he sent a call back to his mate, and they brought the guys at the workshop, and they brought a tender out, and he said, just bring any steel that you've got. And we just have to, this thing's going to sink if we don't fix it. And so they're welding a big plate on these cracks. And he said, but they couldn't get the last bit done because it was spurting water out. So they actually welded a tap faucet on it to release the pressure while they welded it. And then they finished the weld off. And he said, Lloyd's had to come out and sign off on it before they let it go underway. And they said, what's the tap for? Oh. But this thing went under tow all the way back to China with two tugs. But it was all because of, you know, small cracks in the hull where, you know, one little bit wasn't doing its work. And I think this is what Paul is talking about. He's saying that as we grow and as we commit and as we become mature, it actually builds up the whole body to become something that functions and works and achieves as a whole. If one part is missing, then the whole body does suffer, that we're no longer infants and that we're tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind and cunning. And then the final thing is verse 16, living worthy is actually about being equipped for service. Look at verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part. So you know what? We actually need you. We need you not to be busy for us, but to be about what God has given you to serve in his kingdom. And I was talking to Trevor earlier this morning, and he's serving in a ministry to men that have left you know, incarceration. That's what God has called him to. He's passionate about it. I love that. And you know, Ray over there is doing stuff at school and with overseas. And I mean, I could just go around the room, but the point is that we need to be serving and employing what God has given us to do his work. So can I encourage you, as we finish this series off, maybe today take one of these from the information desk out there. Kelvin and Rowan are going to be out there. Sign up to this website. You'll just have to put a few details in there. It's about 100 questions. It's not absolutely definitive, but it is a starting point, okay? And Deanne and Chris did this the other night, and they had a good giggle together about their about how they're wired. And then what I'd encourage you to do is, once you've done the gifts thing and you reflect on it and pray about it, and then maybe take it to your journey group and the people in your journey group and have a chat about it. It's fun. See what they think. And then once you've done that, I'd say start serving in those areas and just test it. See if it works. Just explore it. And then get feedback from others about how that fits and whether it's cranking your handle or whether it's like a complete misfit. And have a go. And just keep wanting to serve and seeking God for what it is that he's given you to serve and build his thing up. Because you know what? God has given us a huge vision as a church to reach this area, to be a point of blessing to other churches, to touch and speak into our local community and its brokenness through Parki Care. But all of this is premised on the fact that we want to see people fall in love with Jesus and come to faith and just get to know him over the long term. And this is going to take a team to do it. It's not going to be a one-man show. So, won't you stand, and I'll pray a blessing over you, and I'll ask Phil and the team to come back up. And so, Father, we thank you today for the good things that you've given us, for service, for ministry. I thank you for all the experiences that we have in life, for the fact, Lord, that when we gave ourselves to serve you, you gave us something back to serve you. And so I pray today, Lord, for those that are earnestly seeking that today to understand it, that you would be with them in that journey. Lord, we pray that this message won't make us busier, but make us more effective as a church to realize the call and the opportunities that you are giving us as a church in our area. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.